Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Art and Labor Quarantine Edition. I am OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love, and I'm on the other side of Brooklyn.
Yeah, we're pretty spaced far apart as far as where we live. And it's really, it should not go out in New York right now if you really don't have to.
Yeah, I feel a little bit unsteady being away from the rickety folding table that we used to put our yerba mates on. But
I know.
Otherwise, it's kind of all right. You know, I'm in bed.
Oh,
right,
that's
now.
Chill. I'm like at a desk. That's so chill to be in bed.
Oh yeah, dude. I haven't gotten out of bed. You know.
Ooh.
I've lost nice. All sense of decorum. I've been wearing the same clothing. And I just stay up all night drawing pictures of what I wish was real.
Oh, we are going to post those as the show pictures because they are so fucking good, dude.
Oh, thank you. I have trouble feeling, but I think it all comes out when I draw.
Yeah, that's it's powerful. It's like gonna make me cry if I talk about it too much, because it's like these drawings that Lucia did are just like depicting total glory of the workers during this crisis, and the demands that workers are making as well.
It just sucks, because like the first picture, so I got very obsessed with I'm very obsessed with boats and trains, turns out.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good.
that's what kind of nerd I am. But there was like this boat that the Pentagon was supposed to send to New York to help us, called the U.S. Comfort. And then as soon as they said that it was coming, they said, just kidding, it actually needs a lot of maintenance. We might send this other boat, the U.S. Mercy. But, you know, we don't know. Maybe you'll get Mercy instead of Comfort. Maybe you'll get neither. But I drew a picture of if the boat actually did show up, and it was magic.
We want the boat.
Yeah, we want the hospital boat, please.
Critical maintenance on USS Comfort.
And then I was reading about, like, the people who were trying to make vaccines, like, fucking Gilead Sciences. Which we should definitely get into, but I drew a nice picture of if Archangel Raphael came and just had a way for us to live.
All these private enterprises. It's like neoliberal hell right now. All these private enterprises trying to capitalize on death.
It's the sickest thing. You've been following the senators who just offloaded all their stocks before the announcements.
Senators should not be allowed to hold stocks. Like, at all.
Isn't it against the law?
It should be.
There's something.
I mean, insider trading is against the law, theoretically, but.
Yeah. Well, they definitely did that. But there was some kind of a stock law, because, you know, there's like rules for people in government. They're not allowed to have they can't, like, what Trump was breaking all of the rules by having his like profiting off of Mar-a-Lago and everything.
Emoluments.
Yeah. Stuff. There's something about that stock law. I love having
stock law.
Stock laws.
Yeah, it's very different vibe to like have us both in front of our computers and not our faces. It's like art and labor, hackers edition or something. Like,
yeah.
Let me pull that up.
Oh wait, so there's this law in February 2012, the Stock Act. Sorry, it's not a stock law. It's Stock Act, passed by the Senate. Yeah, so they're not supposed to be fucking around in there, but they are.
they do everything with impunity, so it's like, fuck these people. They all get the wall when all this coalesces, because, like, if you know, it's become so clear to me that, like, it's socialism or barbarism. Like, there's literally no in between. There's no argument to be made anymore for there to be an in between at this point in this global crisis.
Yeah. And they're acting like barbarians. I mean, like, I just thought it was crazy to me that, I don't know, like, the Kelly Loeffler thing really hit a deep nerve, because she's like one of those, you know, she's like, ooh, I'm a boss woman. Ooh, look at me. I'm the richest lawmaker in this here land. Like, when she started, or when she got on the Senate. I don't know how to talk.
You're fine.
when she got on the Senate, she broke a record for being the wealthiest, like, person there.
Oh my god.
And then
fuck these people. Fuck, she looks insane also. She looks like a literal cartoon villain.
She really does. And then isn't her husband is like
the New York Stock Exchange chair?
Yes. And
her
fucking statement just saying, oh, well, I didn't know like what was going on with my stock portfolio. I didn't even know this was happening. Like, that's your excuse? That kills me. What do you do all day?
I mean, literally, it kills. Like, these people are murderers. All of the politicians are murderers. Like, it's never been more clear that they're literal murderers. Like, at this point, it's like, I'm not even afraid to get, like, sued for saying shit like that, because it's like, who's gonna fucking sue me? It's the fucking truth. And, like, the courts are gonna be closed indefinitely also.
Yes. Oh my god. Seriously. This is rather chaotic.
It is, because every state is doing it like slightly differently, and you know.
Yeah, God bless California for really getting the jump on the whole social distancing thing. You know, it's like they planned it when they built LA.
Gotta get an LA slam in there.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, good for you, Mr. Lonely Town.
Are you gonna go to the beach about it? Get out of here.
Oh, shit. Yeah, whatever. Me and my 20 roommates are gonna cough on you.
Seriously. Oh. Yeah, it took a long time for me to convince all of my housemates to stop going to work and just stay home.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard for people to make that change.
Yeah. And I was trying to, like, because I don't, you know, it's really hard. I'm trying to, like, temper my conversations in different ways, depending on who I'm talking to, because I don't want to freak anyone out.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, that it's really hard is that you're not freaking people out. The situation is freaky, and
it's
just getting through that kind of barrier is the only way that we're going to be able to actually align. And, like, I don't know. I mean, I've been having like a major source of frustration just with people that are like, oh, it's like, I just have to have faith. And I just have to like, take care of my emotions. It's like, no, you can have whatever emotions you want, actually, as long as you wash your hands and stay the fuck out of large groups.
Yeah. You gotta take this seriously. You have to take the information head on. But at the same time, I've encountered like several conversations with people where they're just like breaking down and like spreading panic. And so I'm trying to like figure out ways to like do communication where it doesn't just like break down and go into a panic spiral, you know?
Oh, that's legit. Yeah.
So there's like some sort of one thing I'm gonna recommend everybody in this, it helps, has helped me, is quit coffee. quit coffee if you're having like bad anxiety. Quit coffee.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people. Oh yeah, that'll make you crazy.
Yeah, it's like there's a clear difference. Like I didn't do any coffee at all yesterday. I didn't get any of the like chest anxiety stuff. And then today I tried to drink like a half cup of coffee just because I like it. And it's like, it immediately, like, it's like, all, like within like hours, like, oh no, I can't be drinking this, or I cannot. I really think it's like, does not help if you have that problem, but I'm not a doctor or anything, but I would recommend trying that.
No, that's sage advice. I've heard a lot of people say the same.
And quit, me, try to quit smoking during this time.
Quit fucking smoking.
Yeah.
It makes you more susceptible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got edibles.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I was like, dude, come on now. There's ways.
You can get through this.
Yeah, yeah, dog, life finds a way. Yeah, I've been inside mostly, and there have been a lot of sirens going in waves, like in the afternoon. Sometimes there's kind of just a lot of sirens for like constant stream, and then nothing.
Yeah.
And then last night it was like, oh my god, it is an ending. There's just like one parade of emergencies going on the other side of this building, and like, it's not fucking good.
It's really not. Yeah, there's been a lot here too. There's been it's, you know, it's like 1 hour probably. I'm not like in the busiest part of town.
Yeah,
but it's like there's definitely a noticeable uptick of them.
Yeah, it's weird. I live on an avenue, so I think a lot of people usually will take the avenue to go from, you know, it's like up and down Brooklyn, so everybody goes past if they're coming from south of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really, something's going on here. But it's a little freaky because the city MD issued an email to all of its patients saying that there were going to be locations that shut down, and they're going to shut down different locations during different times. So they're going to keep you abreast of that in case you need help and you live in one of the areas where the clinic shuts down. You might need this information.
And how, like, it's like, you know, people have email but not consistent internet and not consistent connections, and like,
and who but me is going to sit there and read the email? No. From you know what I mean? It's like, what? Why? Who cares? You're gonna just tell me like not to.
I don't understand why they're not using, like, they did one test of like the emergency text system, but
oh yeah,
I haven't seen a single one. It's been like 5 days since that.
Yeah,
one or something, and like, it feels like they're deliberately delaying spreading the information, if I'm gonna be honest, like, because they want the grocery and Amazon workers to keep going to fucking work, even though they're, you know, exposed. All of them are pretty much like going, like, that's something I wanted to bring up today, was like, you know, two different Whole Foods locations had cases, like Amazon warehouse had cases, and there's a group called Amazonians United that actually did a successful work stoppage to advocate for better safety after there was a confirmed case in their workspace.
Yeah.
Our friends at Whole Worker are calling for a sick out at the end of the month for all the retail and grocery workers that are deemed essential. It's gotta be done.
I mean, the way that this is gonna affect supply chains and stuff is, like, I don't know. If I was in government right now and I heard people talking about walking out of these essential services at a time like this, I would be like, have whatever you want.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my God, please take anything. Like, we have to keep the world
turning. That's
what's
so fucking disgusting about Cuomo. He's the worst. I've never fucking voted for him.
Oh no. He's scary. I have trouble looking at him.
Yeah. He sucks, and he's a Republican, and he's being more conservative than Trump with his, he wants to cut Medicaid now. He wants to cut Medicaid like this week. It's psychotic.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny to watch him fight with de Blasio about like what actually needs to happen with New York. And just to see them, like, I don't know, should we even declare this an emergency?
Just like, dragging their feet.
Yeah.
Dragging their feet.
And then making
putting
these
on the
decisions.
Play.
Yeah, like.
Literal masquerade of the Red Death. Shit.
Ugh. Hate it.
I hate it.
Yeah, because just.
They didn't want
to. You go.
I don't know. They didn't want to close things. They dragged their feet the whole time. There's no coordination happening. So, like, I don't know. I was listening to an organizer, of, like the, oh, what is it called? Shit. Sorry, I should have looked this up before. They're like, classroom aides and janitors and like that type of employee within the schools, and like they were pushing for the schools to close in like the beginning of the month.
Oh yeah.
And I was listening to like a union organizer talk about how like one of her coworkers died, you know.
Holy
and
shit.
So they just drag their feet, refusing to close the schools, and like one of the reasons was like the union that represents the healthcare workers were like, no, we need to leave the schools open because the healthcare workers need childcare. And
well, there's a new program though. I mean,
and that's why they made the program.
Yeah,
but it's, make no mistake, it's not because like de Blasio got all his advisors together and they figured that out. It was all unions in, like, talking through this. And
yeah, it's pretty wild because it was like I was talking to someone in our Discord, and they were saying that the guy Amancio Ortega, the Zara billionaire in Spain, is like operating in the same way, where he's like, basically, his entire career has just been founded on exploitation of like low wage labor and sweatshop
work. Isn't it Zara that has like the slave boats?
I think
like,
so.
Where, like, you know, boat, because of international waters law, they can have slaves make their shitty clothing.
Yeah, but now he is making them all make face masks. So people in Spain are like, oh my God, dude, you're so great. You should be like our next leader.
Oh my God. That's really, really bad.
But it's, yeah. But then there were, the same thing. It's like the whole reason why all of these efforts are actually going through is because of a bunch of union organizers, like, that are actually putting like the effort into making the products that need to be made and distributing them and like keeping all the doors open and everything.
Oh my God. Yeah, the union efforts are being totally erased.
Yes, it's crazy.
From this whole thing. Yeah, and that was my point with that. So the union that I was talking about was the Movement of Rank and File Educators.
Oh, cool.
They were instrumental in getting the public schools to finally close and address the needs of homeless populations and the first responders' childcare.
Yeah.
And it took somebody fucking dying.
Yeah, I mean, a lot more people are going to die too.
Totally.
And Cuomo is just sitting there. It's so upsetting because people are posting his speeches.
And they're like, he's so presidential. Fuck you.
Yeah.
He's a murderer. He's a fucking ghoul. He's taking credit for the like workers doing anything to address this crisis. He's just a fucking mouthpiece. He's just doing a press conference. He's nothing. He's nothing.
Well, I mean, he is like he is a bastard.
Yeah, he's that. Yeah. He's trying to cut. He's trying to do cuts. Like he's and he gave relief to people with mortgages before without also giving relief to renters, and it's just like class war. And
well, I mean, it's a little bit complicated, I guess. I don't know.
I think the mortgages should be forgiven too, but it's like you can't do one without the other.
Yeah. Well, the way that we're going about relief programs in like countrywide sense is pretty fucked too. I got those numbers. I got them numbers.
Let's hear them.
All right, everybody, you want to hear some numbers?
Crunch the numbies. Let's go.
For everyone who thinks that you're getting $1,000, you're probably fucking not. I mean, maybe
it's gonna be the Bush tax cuts all over again.
Yeah, well, let's just start with the most applicable aspect. People who don't make enough money to pay federal taxes, i.e. taxpayers with little or no income tax liability, but at least $2,500 of qualifying income, would be eligible for only $600 per individual or $12 for couples. And the direct deposits proposed appear to be one time only, baby. Here you go.
This is going to be the rest of the year, at least.
Yeah. Like, it's great. Here, have $600 for like however long it takes you to go through the second Great Depression. But it's cool because if you make $75,000, then you can get $1,000.
Oh my God.
Because that makes sense. You know, why not?
I love means testing. We gotta do it, because what if a millionaire gets some money too?
A millionaire will get a money. Because
they'll get double money.
Because they wrote in a little fucking really cool loophole saying that the travel and like hotel industry requested $250 billion. And, you know, who qualifies for that is our big orange boy.
Just
so
like,
he can get his own bailout because he shut down Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Fucking great. Amazing,
they're
guys.
They're all completely self-serving monsters and murderers.
But
and
everybody, look into means testing. It's not your friend.
Fuck a means test. Fuck a means test.
Yeah.
God damn. Fuck a means test. It like, I don't like how are we still having to argue with these psycho libs about means tests right now? It's like,
well, because
people,
they don't understand. And I think that, you know, I mean, I try to lay it out as simply as possible by using myself as an example in most cases, not to sound like, you know, it's like, okay, well,
no,
I'm
it's an
really
easy way to disarm the conversation is be like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, so what are you saying? Because I had a bad year in 2018 that I don't deserve to live now? Is that what you're saying? You think that this is a good system? I don't understand, really. And then people are turning to like, oh, well, it's amazing because in the UK, they're giving people, they're paying wages. And I'm like, homie, read the article. they're not covering freelance work. So that, again, just covers the people who are, like, hired by Google, hired by Amazon or whatever, hired by any major corporation that probably already have protections.
It's really fucking frustrating that it's, like, come to this for, like, the, like, thesis of our show to, like, come into, like, the public consciousness, because, like, the whole thing about it is, like, you know, we've always argued that, like, a much larger part of the economy than people think are freelance and gig workers. Like, even, like, the conservative estimates are, like, way under, because there's just so much stupid finagling and bullshit that employers do to not have to have any sort of liability or give any sort of benefit. And with the rents keep going up and up and up, it's like, even if one of your jobs is secure, if your other two or three aren't, then you're still fucked, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, those people can't apply for unemployment, and they also can't fucking move because it's a pandemic, and none of that shit is possible right now. So I don't understand why we're still fucking arguing and not just immediately giving everybody fucking money.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's the easiest way to go about it, because if we actually have a functioning tax system, it doesn't matter who you give the money to. If they are too rich to need it, then you just get it back in taxes. It doesn't fucking matter. It's so simple. Seriously. It's so easy. It's beautiful. Everyone could have the money immediately.
But really what Congress is arguing about is, like, carve outs for their own special fucking interest. And it's like, they say it's one thing. They say it's like, oh, well, it's because we don't want to unfairly blah blah blah. It's like, no, bitch, you just want to fucking have a carve out for your portfolio of whatever.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's so sick. Those people are fucking sick. I mean, they got this news briefing. Oh, hey guys, pandemic on the way. And then these motherfuckers, Dianne Feinstein, Jesus Christ. It's so great to see her name pop up with these people selling their stocks and just like, oh, now I'm going to buy some stocks in telecommunications companies because all I do is profit off of other people.
And I don't care if people are being like, oh, she wasn't as bad as the two Republicans. It's like, fuck you. I want all their heads on a platter. Yeah,
they're doing the same thing. Like, how are they not as bad?
They're all the same. And the DNC are criminals. Like, killing vulnerable populations in Illinois and Ohio, and like the DNC admonishing Ohio for trying to do the right thing and postpone the elections. Like, we postponed the election.
Them.
Psychotic.
Why
and
would
deranged.
You sue someone for protecting their community, or attempting to at least protect their community against something that is extremely fucking dangerous?
Tom Perez is a monster. I can't say it enough. Like, these people are monsters. Like, there's no excuse. They have no excuse.
It's just wild.
Brutal. It's brutal because, like, it's like we should have all this stuff that Congress has control over, like, just taken care of, so that, like, we can focus on, like, communities that, like, don't have, like, citizenship protections, that are all going to be slaughtered by this virus. And
oh my God,
everybody's overextended because so many industries are completely belly up, free fall, massive layoffs.
And there's tons of people in incarceration. There's tons of people in the camps. They're dying anyway.
Yeah, they were already
on a good day.
Yeah, and it's just not right that Congress is dragging their feet, and like, and that we have, like, on the Democratic side, like, a national figure who's been, like, calling for all of the correct shit from the beginning, and like the Democratic leadership refuses to recognize that and instead is like pulling a literal like smoke and mirrors cadaver guy.
Ugh.
Like just keeping him underground as much as possible. I mean, he's probably like going to die. Like my bet is that the DNC knows that Joe Biden's going to die, and that they're trying to pull a quick one, put a different establishment Dem out there. But it's like,
totally.
Are you kidding? It's not in this climate. It's not going to happen. And like, if they think they can wait till June for this to blow over, they're fucking idiots. That aren't.
Well, they're gonna start getting it together because they finally, like, you know, they're finally starting to see people infected in their vicinity. Like they had, like the Mike Pence staffer.
Yeah,
was like the first confirmed case of positive, testing positive for COVID.
Two New York Assembly congressmen in Albany. Now the Assembly like can't. I mean,
yeah. Like, I mean, honestly, it's like I still do have a little bit of hope for like how disheveled everything is, because Bernie's messaging is still so sane that it's like, oh, that's right. What if we stop listening to crazy people and we only do what this guy says?
Seriously.
That means he effectively is our president, whether or not they think someone else is.
Yeah, and like for anybody who thinks like, oh, well, they should both suspend their campaigns. They're fucking idiots who have no idea how elections work, because there's down ballots in all these states that still need to be voted on. So the DNC is and the RNC for that matter, are going to have to figure something out for all these down ballot races and for all of this shit. They can't. I mean, there's one candidate who's been calling for a massive voting for mail for a long time. Maybe listen to that guy.
Oh, no. But he's just like this kind of reasonable person that cares about the country. And we're trying to make a buck here.
Seriously. People don't remember, like, even before like Illinois and Ohio and stuff voted, or even whatever one was before that, shit, I can't remember at this point. There, Bernie Sanders called, when it was just Bernie and Biden, when it became clear, when Tulsi was still in the race, but it was just Bernie and Biden, Bernie was like, I'm going to do a town hall about healthcare to address, like, you know, this virus and other healthcare concerns. It was before it was quite as serious because there was still an audience, but it was on Fox News.
Yeah.
And it was just Bernie, and he was like, he called for like this and Biden refused to go. And I watched that Fox News town hall. It was very, very good. It was very good. The audience was cheering. Even the moderators, like he was able to address like these deeply conservative idiot Fox News moderators. He was able to address them pretty handily. And I remember after that, on Fox News, one of the anchors did this like psychotic like look to the camera thing where she was like, this virus is a Democratic hoax and we have to support the president.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. People were posting clips of it, so I'll try to find it and put in the show notes.
Yeah, after there's everything.
There's a lot of footage of these like news people being like, this is a hoax. And
of course they were just following, you know, our leadership's messaging. So,
but it's wild like how far in advance like Bernie and his team were trying to address this. They'd stopped canvassing like weeks before, and you know, we're trying to get the Biden camp to do the same, but the Biden camp literally like called for their supporters to just go. Like it was normal. Like the no precautions, like just go to the polls. Like, fuck you.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm just thinking now about like Anthony Fauci's like epic facepalm.
Oh man, that was a whole thing. Yeah, oh, these press conferences are wild.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hilarious. But like, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty happy to be aware of this whole thing ahead of the curve too. I'm just gonna put it out there.
Yeah.
This fucking tinfoil hat right here was like, oh shit, wait a minute, guys. It's gonna be people against the virus. And everyone's like, nah, not here, dog. We're just doing elections. And I'm like, yeah. Okay.
Even in the elections they were trying to address it, but it's just like,
yeah.
Nobody really knew how serious it was, if it was here already.
You know how serious it is if you just look at other people who are going through it, though. That's what's infuriating.
Paying attention to international news or whatever. Nobody does.
I was like watching China build these like crazy warehouses full of the most Spartan beds you could imagine, and just like, oh wow, they're all gonna be full up. And then like, oh, watching the way that I just like started reading about pandemics and how they spread, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is happening. Like, why is it so hard to talk to people about it, even just on a general day-to-day basis? Like, hey, did you guys see this thing? It's like, nope, that's not a topic of discussion because it's not trending right now. And it's not just like an issue of leadership, I think. Like, I think
it's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
Like we were saying in the beginning of the episode, like, it's hard to like temper these conversations because like people just don't want to even acknowledge it. Like, it's like a lot of like these, like, I have these like deep-seated like frustrations with like people refusing to like look at the reality of like situations. I remember on my fucking birthday night on the 29th, like trying to channel some of this like anxiety into that like performance where I was like doing Joker makeup as Sonic and like,
yeah,
just yelling that, like, you know, the ruling class are trying to kill us, like, this is like real, like.
Yeah, and I mean, well, it's not only that. I mean, they're not technically trying yet. We'll know when they're trying.
Yeah. But it's like they're going, you know, their ineptitude is killing people. Like, they're like, you know, the fact that, you know, a lot of wealthy people are like global citizens and can just like go all around the world spreading this virus. Like, I think it makes sense that like the political elites, like, you know, like Bolsonaro has it. Like, all of these like politicians are starting to get it. Like,
oh, he has it, but he doesn't have it. Oh my God, did you see AMLO giving hugs to everybody? I was like,
no, what are you doing?
I think it was AMLO. Yeah, I don't know. I'm like dying.
That's not good.
I think it was, yeah. And then another really fun human interest piece: the rich people who live in Manhattan are all fleeing to Long Island. It's so bad. They're going to the Hamptons.
I shouldn't laugh because they're gonna kill all the poor people in the Hamptons, like
that. Yeah, that's exactly what they're complaining about. It's just like, oh, rich people's first response when they get something, they're like, oh my God, this is scary. I have to go to the seclusion of my beach house. Oh my God, no one's ever at my Southampton doctor.
The celebs doing like the shitty, like, Imagine. Did you see that?
Oh my God. Imagine is like the worst song ever.
Talk about like eugenicist. Jesus Christ.
Ugh. Yeah, imagine if all of the people were actually one long human centipede.
Ugh. But it's so funny because like the celebs are all at like their extremely like parasite looking estates, like,
yeah,
like fucking like singing like for awareness or whatever.
Ugh.
It's just like so bad.
It always like, happens.
Like the We Are the World of the coronavirus is the worst possible garbage.
Yeah, we are the world, and let's like make sure none of it is hand in hand. Glove in glove. Shortage to shortage. We all relate.
Hands across America of spreading the coronavirus.
Oh, God. Oh, it's so horrible.
It's horrible. It's horrible. This is like, so I wanted to ask you, like, what you thought about, like, because I've been thinking a lot, you know, of course, about all of our, like, us and other art workers that have, like, completely lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been following all the, plan, like I've been helping plan like the Ridgewood Mutual Aid group, and folks in there today were talking about like, and I see you post this stuff a lot, like the, and we were talking, you were talking about it before actually, the like people like making masks, making stuff that's useful for the pandemic.
There's actually a huge community of DIY mask making going on. Homies, get into it.
Yeah, some of the folks in the mutual aid group were talking about like, you know, like some of the like breweries, local breweries were talking about maybe like converting their production into
to make alcohol, like, disinfectants.
To make disinfectants or like other places, like
some breweries are doing that. Yeah.
There's like a fabric factory in Ridgewood, and maybe they could help make masks, and like I don't know, like I don't know how like medically safe they are, but maybe for like regular people, like,
well, basically the thing about the masks is there's different levels of filtration, and you can have like a really really good mask has like a carbon filter in it, and we obviously can't just get these materials, and it's even difficult in some cases to make a normal mask because you still need some kind of like appliable metal for the nose bridge to be form fitting. So what people are doing though is you can use pre-washed pre-shrunk cotton, and you can make like a kind of double layer very simple mask. This is extremely important for people right now because basically like there's such an influx of healthcare workers that are being taken out from you know, medical schools. So we have students helping, we have retired doctors coming back into the force to help, like it's just an emergency. But aside from that, you know, mostly we cover the health workers, but there's stuff like in testing facilities, we see like a lot of impromptu structures being built by workers who have no protective gear, and they're working alongside of the medical community, and they need to be equally protected, but you know, we're obviously going for like most at risk contact to contact. Doctors have to be protected first.
To literally administer the test, like you have to like cough in like the medical examiner's face or something. Like,
to test for this stuff, I think a lot of it is like swabs. How you test for these types of things is they take swabs of like your mucous membranes like down in your throat, they'll stick things in your ears, and then they do tests on your lungs to see if you're capable of holding a breath. And a lot of the people who are infected experience like some pain if they try to take too deep a breath, so that's how you know to move on with more testing.
But back to the workers, like, because that's one area that's actually hiring right now, is like these, they're building like these, you know, either drive by or like walk in sort of like testing facilities.
And they're paying $30 an hour for you to watch the car wash, baby.
Yeah, but all those workers need some sort of protection, and like, if like the really good stuff has to go to the... Oh no, what happened? Shoot.
Can you... Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Can hear now. Yeah, you just cut out for a second. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Good. Damn Wi-Fi.
But yeah, what were you saying?
Oh no. Oh, you were just talking about the impromptu setups and how people are being hired on to do the testing.
Yeah. Yeah, so people, yeah, so all those people need masks and protection, and the on the listings apparently they do have some sort of protection, but I've yet to hear what type of protection that is.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's different in different places because we're getting shipments delivered on the daily. So if you do want to jump in on this, it's kind of more like, you know, check in with your community, and if they're fine on masks, they might need other protective stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's just sort of like, I don't know what they're called, but there's like the little, like the gown things that people wear,
yeah,
to protect them.
Yeah, and the gloves.
Yeah.
All this stuff, and you know, folks should really just stay indoors as much as possible, like really, and yeah, like try to, like, I mean, if you don't have any masks at home and you need to like make an emergency run somewhere, you should try to cover your face with something.
Yeah, definitely. It's better to cover your face, cover your hands. Make sure, like, if you do go outside, have a set of outside clothing that you take off when you get back. And just, I mean, you know, this is like the full measure of precautions you can take, but apparently it's like people are saying that it's safe to go out and like go for a bike ride or go for a run. Just like if you're in a place where you don't encounter any other people, like trees aren't gonna get you, grass ain't gonna get you, but rubbing up on people, don't do that.
It also stays on surfaces, stays on plastic for like up to 3 days, and cardboard, yeah, so when you, if you do get stuff delivered, like handle that with, you know, gloves, disinfect stuff, leave it as long as you can, as like before you open it and all that sort of stuff. Cause like we said, like there was a Amazon warehouse worker who tested positive, and they're still, you know, refusing to provide sick leave for those workers. And I'll post the Amazonians United if people want to support them, and I'll post all the grocery store worker efforts. We've been posting that stuff on our Twitter, of course, but for anyone who hasn't seen, I'll try to consolidate all that information, yeah, together.
Yeah, we're just circulating it. I've never posted so much as I have since I lost my job.
But yeah, going back to like art workers in this, like people, like I've seen like some posts like talk about like, oh, the like there was some art news thing being like the art industry has needed a bailout for a long time, but it's like, really, we don't need a bailout right now. I think we need to be repurposed for like things that are going to help the crisis right now is what I think personally. But
yeah, I mean, it's pretty complicated. I've been doing some like comparative research of the different communities that I know of in the art world as a whole, and like what's that sort of disconcerting to me is that there is a clear stratification to the way that people are experiencing like relief efforts, because we have so many different coalitions in the art world. This is the time when you really start to see, like, yeah, it's not all one cohesive thing. This is, yeah, really, this, it's such a, you know, because we had like the GoFundMe going around for low income cultural workers And, you know, that's sort of like a very sizable amount for what it is. But then you start to see other things like, oh, well, the Andy Warhol Foundation, who's capable of bailing out like the entirety of Chelsea when Hurricane Sandy hits.
Oh my God, the endowments of some of these institutions.
Yeah, exactly. So you start to see like also a different kinds of means testing. Also that that piece or whatever the I think it was the Rauschenberg Foundation, if I'm not mistaken, started a fund that was just like a grant, but for artists who have healthcare issues and are financially unstable.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like you have to first, you're an artist and you have to like prove that you're an artist to the community. So it's like how much time do people think that we have to like legitimate ourselves before we can get some help? And there's like no ultimately, you know, fuck it.
There's no fucking time.
Yeah, I mean honestly, the only thing that we can really do is just say like, hey, here's help if you need it. And it doesn't matter what you make or who you are. If you really need help, like you're going to ask for it, I'd assume.
But it's like, I just want to shake all of the means test fools and be like, you need to be advocating for universal rent suspension or freeze right fucking now.
Oh, seriously. I mean, I was fucking livid talking to an art person because you know, they were like trying to be really smart about stuff. They're like, hey honey, just wanted to like text you and let you know that the city's shutting down. And I was like, homie, I'm in my bunker already, like no shit. Like, who do you think you're talking to? I'm sorry. I was ready, like, fucking a month ago for this. And then, you know, I didn't say that, obviously, but I was like, okay, thanks. Also, we're already working on amassing all of this relief. And, like, well, you know, I'm just sending it on if you know anybody who needs this help. And they're like, oh, that's really interesting. Maybe this issue will like bring more awareness to your cause.
Cause. And I was
like, oh, right. Yeah. Like, oh.
The art and labor cause.
Cause. That's the way that you see this. Okay. All right. Huh. There really is no getting through to some people.
They really don't want to think about it.
Oh no.
But now they're being confronted and it's very interesting. And I hope they're fucking listening right fucking now, honestly.
I hope so too, man. I hope that everybody hate listens to this and is like, I'm doing great. What the fuck you? No, but to be fair, that's not everybody.
Our listeners are great. People listening, you know, our listeners know that we're all in the same boat and we've been in this together for quite a long time, struggling together.
Yeah. And honestly, like the thing that I realized from that, just being in this aspect of like, oh shit, you know, having to figure this stuff out does make you more intelligent in a lot of ways because, you know, and you get an awareness of the issue before it gets filtered through like, the New York Times, because you're like bitch, like what are you trying to tell me? You're selling me a news story about my life, like I already know.
Oh my god.
And like you're sitting there trying to tell me that something's going on. I'm like, why can't you, what is this hierarchy about?
Go to the source, bitch. Go to the source.
Seriously, I like can't stand it when people are just like, oh, I listened to my one little New York Times thing and then I'm just like, wow, I know now. It's like, okay, fine.
They have no media literacy. It's like, it's really just because they don't, because it does, like, to be real, like it does like hurt to like constantly be like pain. Like I've been having to take like massive breaks because like, I will like spike up my anxiety like crazy, like following all these different threads, because like I understand the stakes very clearly. And as soon as like people who like don't have to understand the stakes, it's hard to convince them to do so.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I mean, it's like people really don't understand until they're experiencing it, and that's fair.
Yeah.
They just don't. But I found this piece on Quillette that I really liked. Thought it was kind of adorable. The title is the New York Times bad for democracy? And they make a pretty good case for why it is.
Oh no.
It was published on March 20th. No, it was like a very thoughtful piece, because some of it is like actually even a little optimistic. But it talks about the way that, you know, large media outlets like the New York Times will buy up the services of different journalists who are like excelling in their field, and then they will sort of silence the voice that is like specific to that journalist by putting the New York Times stamp on it, and in that way they act like a monopoly.
No, yeah, it makes sense. But yeah, people don't have to go to Quillette for that. I mean, we did an episode of this very show where I think the title was something like Spit on the New York Times or something like that.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we've like, you know, had the episodes where we're talking to the union organizers that, again, we're actually talking to. And yeah. Then the New York Times comes out with an article that's like, well, this museum head director doesn't like the union and says it's bad. Also, we have no other people.
That's so bad. That's what the episode was. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So bad.
But, I mean, we have the examples for ourselves, but I thought it was like really endearing that it's that happening. Thing showed up on Quillette. I was like, guys, you got there.
Yeah. I also, before we wrap, we should mention the Zachary Small piece you were interviewed for. How was that?
Oh, yeah.
Anything that you didn't get a chance to be quoted on?
Oh, no. I mean, you know, it's just such a really strange experience, because I started the conversation with them and, you know, I had to really kind of try very hard to get in touch with my superior at the truck job. And say like, hey, it's extremely unsafe to be doing this. And not only that, half of our customers have already shut down.
Yeah.
So what are we doing and who are we delivering to? We're clearly just delivering to private clients. And I'm not sure if they really want us to be endangering them in their homes, or, you know what I mean? It's like, can we have a conversation about this, please? And they couldn't get on the phone with me. They couldn't even address it. They just said like, like whatever.
Couldn't be fucking bothered.
Come back if you want to.
There's so many of these jobs that are totally under the table, and it's like they have no, yeah, like, oh my god.
I mean, I get that like industry has to go on, and that's something very, you know, I'm a little more capable of operating in these situations where I'm like, oh no, it's true. I have to make money. I have to work. I have to make money.
I think both of us were working when we knew that this virus was more serious than they let on. Like, it's just like it became easier to explain to people, don't go to work. when they started doing the big press conferences and news stories about it. But like, you know, every job, like my job certainly dragged their feet about closing. Like they were doing like we have gloves and we're sanitizing or whatever, like all this stuff. And like, I know so many businesses that were trying to do shit like that to stay open. And it's just like, why risk your health? Like, the government's going to have to do something. Like, you know, every, like, millions and millions and millions of people are in the same boat. Like, fuck. It took until, like, today for my, like, just now before we recording, for my job to be like, yeah, so we officially had to close and we're gonna try, like, I did not expect for them to, like they're doing, like, a little fundraising to actually give some of it to us.
Oh, wow.
Which is, like, that's expecting.
In this kind of climate, that's such a generous thing to do.
It is, but it's also the least every workplace should be doing right now, or trying to do. But it's like, you know, there's so many mutual funds that there's never going to be enough for what we really need, which is, like, massive universal programs and universal income and universal rent freeze and all of that.
Oh, I talked to my landlord yesterday.
Don't.
They called. God. They called.
Of course. They're trying to get ahead of it, but...
Well, it was really funny, though, because, well, it was, like, it was, like, a very sweet conversation, actually.
Oh, God.
I was like, yeah, all right, well, okay, I hear you.
Doesn't mean I'm gonna materialize money magically.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I was like, oh, gosh, honey, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, times are tough. Yeah, I'm having trouble myself, you know?
Yeah. Hey, so you say this ain't going good on your side of the tracks either, huh? So you're going to be able to see where I'm coming from then.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I'm, like, happy, though, in a weird way. I had a meltdown when I was getting my coworker out of jail.
Fair.
That was, like, the extreme darkness, like, and it was crazy because I was still working through it. I was like, okay, we gotta, like, make the deliveries, and I gotta drive around the fucking city in Manhattan traffic, which is psychotic when people are just walking in the middle of the street because they think all of a sudden rules don't matter. Like, they're like, oh, it's a plague, so I'm gonna just stand in the middle of the street like a goddamn zombie. So I'm just, like, having a mental breakdown and, like, not crying and just, like, working, and then, like, getting my coworker out of jail and then going, like, wow, the world is really, really bad, and the police state is going to take advantage of this any fucking second. I don't know what to do, because that's what's going to happen next.
Seriously. I mean, ICE is trying to, like, round up people, like, now, while they still can.
Yeah, oh my God, I can't fucking... I'm so angry that ICE is still in operation. So fucking angry that they just... also continued, like, aggressions with Iraq, fucking bombing them.
And the sanctions in Iran. God.
It's disgusting.
So disgusting. Just monstrous. Monstrous murderers. They're all...
all of them.
History will not forget, and they will be up against the wall. And we will get ours eventually.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, we should wrap up because I think we're at an hour and change now.
Word.
It's great talking to you.
Yes.
As always, even though, you know, it's bleak, like, our topics of conversations have always been pretty bleak, you know, and
I don't even notice anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like, yeah, this is just what's going on. Actually, all right, here's an upshot. I feel very happy to have the time to reflect on my life. And I've had a lot of really unexpected memories come up that have been, like, extremely beautiful. And it's, I don't know, it was cool. Like, the other night I was just sitting around and I was drawing a picture, and then I remembered, like, when my mom was teaching me, like, how to read.
Wow.
And it was just, like, you know, it was, like, I think I only got to have that memory because everything was, like, slowed down and quiet, you know? And it just, it was so nice. And I, and then I, like, you know, it replaced all of these weird feelings when I'm like, oh, mom, we're always bickering or something. I was like, oh my God, that woman, she taught me how to read. It's wonderful.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there is like a lot of time for reflecting right now. Like, I feel like I, like, similarly, like, when I had like my, this is probably going to be my last time in a while where I can lay down in the grass. You just remember all the times when you're a kid, sitting in the grass and you feel grounded.
Yeah. We'll get there again.
Remember grass, dude?
Fuck. You know, vaguely.
Bad time for my fucking landlords to pave over our garden a couple months ago.
Bastards.
But we're figuring it out, you know. We're hooking up with our neighbors. We're finding ways to do things and, like, hear that bird? Hear that bird? The birds are here.
Oh, I did hear a bird.
I heard it in the recording.
I can hear it now.
But everyone, just stay as strong as you can. Join us in the Discord. Everybody is taking care of each other in there. It's very beautiful. We're playing games in there. It's great. Lucia's doing school in there.
Oh yeah. If anybody wants to join Constructing the Real, it's like, I'm trying to get everyone into this book because it's really, really good. It's like a roadmap for all of these other kinds of philosophies, and it like ties them all in. It goes through the 1800s, the 1900s. It goes through today. It's fucking talking about surveillance states. It's talking about French Revolution shit. I mean, it covers so many bases and it's just one book. It's dope.
It's really, people are already really psyched you're doing that. And we'll get some more invites going for anybody who's not in the Discord already who wants to join, like, game time and school time. Please feel free to hit us up. You are our community, and we treasure you, and we value you, and we appreciate anybody who's still able to support us on Patreon. We really, really appreciate you, and please don't overextend yourself if it's a problem.
Oh, yeah, just let us know, because we'd rather hang out with you in the Discord and watch crazy cooking videos than have you, you know, feel like you can't join just because of money.
Yeah, totally. Okay. We should wrap up there, but everybody take care, and take care of each other, and take care of your neighbors in these times.
And let's have fun.
Let's have fun, too. Play Animal Crossing.
Oh my god. Everyone's playing the shit out of that. It's great.
It's wonderful, because you can literally, like, hang out with your friends in it.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
So I'll get on to Second Life. Let's do this.
Oh my god.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
I get if you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy. It doesn't really matter if you drive a limousine. It really doesn't matter if you drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you just drive a truck. I don't care if you just drive a limousine. It doesn't really matter. Drive a Ferrari. I really don't care, cause I just love your company. Let's have fun. 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 Lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun.